Fellow Freedom fans, we're back. David Allen Carmichael with the Faith and Freedom Show here on the Eagle 104.3 FM for the Liberty Works Radio Network. Going to continue with a saga of, it's just a byproduct of our pandemic of dementia sweeping across this nation that is causing us great ills, including financial catastrophe. I'm reviewing this whole in utero infanticide, and I'm getting down to the brass tacks of what the Roe versus Wade court was considering. You'll find out there was a whole lot of clueless going on. So listen up. Yes, this is extreme. I'm being extreme, but you know what? Actually, I'm being Norm. You should be calling me Norm, because what I'm talking about should be normal. But we are dysfunctional as a nation, and everything's falling apart. It's sad. We got to fix it. I want to tell you about Sir William Blackstone. He's talking about murder. And he said, he describes these various ways of constituting murder or conducting murder. He said the killing may be by poisoning, striking, starving. Terry Schiavo, they did the starving thing on here. Drowning, they do that in the in utero infanticide, and a thousand other forms of death by which human nature may be overcome. Human nature, they didn't say a person. They said human nature may be overcome. Of these, the most detestable of all is poison. Now, we just heard a testimony from a lady who was poisoned. The most detestable of all is poison because it can, of all others, be the least prevented either by manhood or forethought. In other words, the person is so innocent and defenseless that any way that you kill somebody that when they're innocent and defenseless is detestable, folks. We need to fix it. Now, we're going to go to another audio clip about this lady was talking about surviving an abortion. They tried to kill her, and then, of course, then the pregnancy was terminated. But look at the English common law. They said a harlot that laid her child in an orchard where a kite, that's a kind of bird, struck it and killed it, was, she laid it out where it could be left out to the elements. She was found guilty of murder. Murder. Okay, so we're going to hear another audio clip from this lady who survived in utero infanticide.
Yes, I was invited by Representative Ted Harvey to come and to sing the national anthem on a day that they were going to celebrate the 90th anniversary of Planned Parenthood for the Rocky Mountains. And I had just finished the London Marathon, and Mr. Harvey was telling them this and that I had cerebral palsy and after I sang. And then after I sang, he said, I want to finish the story, and told them all with me sitting there, she survived this abortion, and on and on and on. And oh my goodness, I've never seen anything like it in my life. I went from 1 minute people saying, oh, you're just so special and so wonderful, to rage that I would have the audacity to prove the lie, to be living. I mean, people just furious, some people furious, and other people just happy.
Jill, we were talking about what actually happened on that day. Elaborate on what Gianna just said.
She started singing. She was very tired, just running the marathon. She began to falter. All of the representatives joined in, started singing with her, stood up, and after it was all over, gave her a standing ovation. And it was then that Representative Harvey told them who she was. And instant rage. This made national news, international news, how angry they became.
That was a lady who survived in utero infanticide. I'm going to go back to the English common law before we go on to the next audio clip. And it's going to describe what somebody has encountered going on. There's a federal law right now that says that you're not, and it's a very recent law, that you're not allowed to kill somebody when they're outside the womb. Okay. The bad thing is it's making sure that all the doctors murder somebody inside the womb. But there's a law that makes it a crime, you see, when there's a human being who's actually outside the closet where they normally conduct in utero infanticide. In other words, if they've escaped to neutral territory, you're not allowed to kill them. Now, I'm going to read from the commentaries by Sir William Blackstone. He says, to kill a child in its mother's womb is now no murder. Now, it didn't mean it's not homicide. That murder was a type of homicide. It was not, in other words, murder was punishable by death. So what he's saying, to kill a child in its mother's womb is now no you won't have capital punishment, because back then you couldn't really tell that it would really 50-50 chance it was not going to, it may not have come to survival. Okay, so you didn't have the two or more witnesses kind of issue to justify a capital punishment. It says, but a great misprison, like manslaughter. But if the child be born alive and dieth by reason of the potion, you see, saline solution, or bruises it received in the womb, it is murder in as such as it as administrator gave them. In other words, if a child dies because of, like in this lady's case that you're going to hear, if the child dies because of what was done to it, then it still nevertheless is murder. We're going to go here and go ahead and listen to the next clip.
Can you imagine not giving babies their basic human rights, no matter how they entered our world? My name's Gianna Jessen, born 31 years ago after a failed abortion. But if Barack Obama had his way, I wouldn't be here. Four times Barack Obama voted to oppose a law to protect babies left to die after failed abortions. Senator Obama, please support Born Alive Infant Protections. I'm living proof these babies have a right to live.
Now, what that was, she specifically, the reason I heard this was she specifically had a clip that was, you know, she's on a mission to solve this problem. And she and the lady, the other lady that was on the interview, have been working hard to protect these people who have escaped the closet of the womb and have escaped the knife, have escaped the murdering hands of those who would practice in utero infanticide. And so what they're trying to do, see, everybody's ignoring these little people. Well, they were intended to be aborted. Well, they were. The pregnancy was terminated. Why do we have to kill the human? You terminated your silly pregnancy. What right do you have now? You've already, you know, for your own sake of your own gratification, you've endangered somebody else. But now let's not just take it further, you know, sending this little person to the gas chamber or something like that, you know, because they're not your favorite human being. You know, they may have a different, you know, I don't know, look that you didn't want, or, you know, they weren't as intelligent as you were hoping. So they're on a cause. So there's this one person, President Obama, who particularly, they're trying to get this thing fixed. So I think in this group, they think most likely that Mr. Obama is going to be a danger to this cause. Now, the other side, the flip side of the major party, Mr. McCain, well, I see a lot of lip service from that team. And I think both sides are exploiting good people. I think there's people in say with a Christian mindset who love life, who believe that we're created in the image of God. And I would say specifically in the black community in the area that would support Mr. Obama. And I think they're being exploited. I think that their party that they're loyal to needs to be held accountable by them, because guess what? It's happening on their watch. And then the Republican Party, I think Christians are being exploited there. It's like, hey, I'm pro-life. You put the pro-life banner in and I get all these right-wing, more white people than black people voting for me because I'm the pro-life candidate. Well, do something, folks. Pay attention. It's bigger than the silly in-flight entertainment we have, which huge. What are we doing in the legislature? That's where it's going to fix things. Now, what I want to do is, that lady had a ad that specifically she's trying to bring some awareness. It worked for me. And then what we're going to do is we're going to hear what the candidate said in response to it.
Let's hear the response from Barack Obama to that ad.
He also uses my face in his ad.
In his ad. Mm-hmm. All right, let's hear it.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
John McCain's attacks, the sleaziest ads ever. Truly vile. Now, votes taken out of context, accusing Obama of letting infants die? It's a despicable lie. Even the bill's Republican sponsor said it's untrue. Obama's always supported medical care to protect infants. McCain? He's running on a platform to ban abortion, even in cases of rape and incest. Sleazy ads? Anti-choice? That's John McCain.
First of all, Gianna, have you ever been accused of a despicable lie before?
No, I've never been accused quite like this.
You are a living example of the truth of what you were saying.
Yes, and I don't know how it's possible, Dr. Thompson, to take votes out of context. They are votes. Yeah. He voted four times the exact same way.
Before we go on, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the Hippocratic Oath. One of the things that I saw in the Roe versus Wade decision was the Hippocratic Oath, and then we're going to hear some commentary by a lady. One of the things she said is there's this law that's prohibiting people from killing these babies who have survived the closet of the in utero infanticide. and they come out and then people kill them anyway in spite of this federal law. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the Hippocratic Oath. This is what doctors say. This came back from Hippocrates. I mean, this is 370 to 460 BC. They're not really sure. It says, I will give no deadly medicine to anyone if asked, nor suggest any such counsel. And in like manner, I will not give to a woman a pessary to produce abortion. And I will neither give a deadly drug to anybody if asked for it, nor will I make a suggestion to this effect. Similarly, I will not give to a woman an abortive remedy. You know, those little pills. You know, there's nothing new under the sun, folks. So this is the Hippocratic Oath, and as the court said in Roe versus Wade, for these folks, they said, for them, the embryo was animate from the moment of conception. And abortion meant destruction of a living being. Abortion clause of the oath, therefore, echoes Pythagorean doctrines, and no other stratum of Greek opinion were such views held or proposed in the same spirit of uncompromising austerity. Look what they're doing. Well, okay, so other Greeks disagreed with them. What are they thinking? They're not paying attention. They don't even know the basis of American law. Basis of American law, sure, it had influence on some of the Roman civil law and stuff like that. But later in the court acknowledged that this, along with the Christian perspective of law in America, had a pretty strong stance against in utero infanticide for quite a long time. The problem with these guys was they were trying to figure out right from wrong exclude a absolute. They were excluding the perspective of why somebody would not be held accountable for murder if the baby died inside the womb. You know why? Because you didn't have two or more witnesses proving that this person was really alive. And so that we don't shed the innocent blood of the mother, you know, I mean, there's going to be a judgment day where she'll be held accountable, but so we don't shed the innocent blood here on earth, it would not be a capital offense of murder homicide. It might be manslaughter homicide. Okay, might be considered a lesser penalty, so per se. Then you'd have the equivalent punishment so that there wouldn't be so that if there's a chance that you'd shed innocent blood of the mother when it need not be so here on earth. Well, that was the principle about having lesser of a penalty. Okay, now before we go to the break, I want to play another part of the song, The Little Ones. Let's reflect on what it's telling us.
The great physician sees the blood they're spilling. He hears us as we loudly speak against it. But he knows that with our tribute we finance it. Oh, holy God, you know of every little girl who died before she ever looked into her mother's eyes. And mighty God, you know of every little boy who died before he ever saw green meadows or blue skies.
Again, that's The Little Ones. Poignant, on the mark, hitting the nail right on the head. Here I am, David Alan Carmichael, with this Faith and Freedom Show. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, listen to the Liberty Works Radio Network with the Eagle 104.3 FM. Consider what is going on around you, and consider what's on our watch. Consider what we're going to have to do to fix this. What I've done is I've done a lot of homework to try to figure out if I can equip myself and equip others as well to know what the truth is. We've got to train up the judges. I don't think they know what they're doing. We'll be back.